Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. A couple of news items breaking around us. The Democratic leaders in the House now say they think a vote on their Iraq war bill will come around midday and that they do have the votes to pass it. This has been in doubt, but they are predicting passage and pretty soon of this bill that would fund the war in Iraq, but force it to end by the end of August. That's not to say the Senate's going to go along, but it is looking like that vote is going to come very soon, and the Democratic leaders are saying they have the votes to pass it, at least in the House. And from the presidential race, Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton apparently is pulling off a major political coup in Iowa. The governor of Iowa, former governor Tom Vilsack, who was a presidential candidate himself until just recently but pulled out, has told officials that he is going to formally endorse Hillary Clinton on Monday. The Associated Press quoting officials of the Vilsack campaign, or the former Vilsack campaign. So in Iowa, which is still hard fought, even with all these states, including New York and New Jersey, moving to the Super Duper Tuesday, and with John Edwards, who's very popular in Iowa, staying in, perhaps an important endorsement for Hillary Clinton from Tom Vilsack, being reported by the Associated Press. All right. Are you someone who throws out those piles of credit card offers the minute they come in the mail? Maybe you put them straight in the shredder rather than let the banks make money getting you in debt. Well, to some so-called financial fanatics, you're actually recycling away potential profits. There are some people out there who use the credit card company gimmicks to their advantage to make hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars in extra income a year and a few free domestic flights to boot. Wall Street Journal personal finance columnist Jonathan Clements wrote about this phenomenon in yesterday's paper. It's what you might call adventures in extreme personal finance, and he joins me now. Jonathan, welcome to WNYC.
It's great to be with you, Brian.
So it's hard to believe that consumers could make more money from these offers than the credit card companies, but you track down a slew of people who turn these mass mailings into profits. How do you beat the banks at their own game?
Yeah, this phenomenon was really a surprise to me. I mean, I knew people were pretty fanatical about their money, and I sort of considered myself to be pretty fanatical, but we're talking about a hardcore group of people here, people who are taking their monthly cash flow, and what I mean is they're taking the money that's coming in on their paycheck, and they're manipulating it this way and that, trying to squeeze not only maximum interest out of various bank accounts, but also trying to get maximum rewards from the credit card companies by using these reward cards, by taking advantage of these 0% introductory offers, by getting these frequent flyer cards. It's an amazing phenomenon. And, you know, you've got to wonder, I mean, is it really worth all the effort? But the answer is, the people who are real junkies about this, there's money to be made.
So, for example, if you have credit card debt, to keep taking these zero interest credit cards that come in the door, and, you know, those are only, I don't know, 3-month introductory periods or something like that where the zero interest applies, but keep moving from one to another?
Yeah, clearly there are a lot of people out there who do that. You know, ideally you should never carry a credit card balance. I mean, you know, it's like one of the cardinal sins of money management to have a credit card balance and pay interest on it. But if you have ended up with some credit card debt, if you can move it from one 0% card to another 0% card and avoid paying any interest, that's a great idea. But even better idea, at least in my book, is that if you have one of these 0% cards, say you've got a 0% card where you're not going to have to pay any interest for 6 months. So you say, okay, for the next 6 months, I'm going to put everything on that card. I'm going to put my groceries on it. I'm going to put, you know, my utility bills on it. You know, every time I go to the department store, I'm going to charge on that card. Meanwhile, you take the money that you would have used to pay off that card, and you put it in a savings account, preferably one of these high-yield savings accounts where these days you can get about 5%. Then, just before the six-month period is up, you write a big check against your high-yield savings account, and you pay off the balance. What you've done is you've taken advantage of the credit card's free company's free money, and you made a little interest in the meantime.
So that's one way to beat the credit card companies at their own game. We'll get into some more as we continue now with Jonathan Clements, Wall Street Journal personal finance columnist who wrote about adventures in extreme personal finance in yesterday's paper. And we can take your phone calls, either your stories and your strategies or your questions for Jonathan at 212-433-WNYC. 833-433-9692. You write about somebody who has 80 different credit cards. Is that healthy?
Well, apparently this guy has a credit score of over 800. The maximum credit score under the most popular credit score rating system is 850. So this guy has clearly managed to maintain a very high credit rating. And, you know, as long as you don't start missing credit card payments, you're probably okay. But, yeah, I wouldn't really encourage 80 credit cards. Personally, I have one.
That same person took out $62,000 in cash advances on four cards with 0% rates and put it in a money market account to make $1,800 in interest.
And at some level, you've got to admire a guy like that, right? I mean, you know, that's pretty clever, but, you know, and $1,800, I mean, that's nothing to sniff at, but still, you know, there are risks involved. I mean, you really have to read those credit card offers carefully to make sure that it is going to be 0% for 12 months, whatever the period is, that you're not going to get charged extra for those cash advances, and you have to make sure you pay it off before the interest kicks in, or otherwise, you know, the whole thing could blow up in your face and you could end up out of pocket.
Bob on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, I'm one of those fanatics. I have three credit cards. They all pay me 5% back on supermarkets, pharmacies, and gas stations.
Whoops, Bob, are you there? Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. Sorry, we lost you there for a second. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm one of those fanatics. I have three credit cards that pay me $300 per annual year on supermarkets, pharmacies, and gas stations up to 5%. So I rotate each card for three. Once I reach the max of $300, they pay me. I use the next card for the year. I actually had one credit card that gave me checks with 0%, no fees on it, and they gave me 1% back. So what I did was I cashed the check, paid off the balance,
Wow.
Got $1,000 off of a Chevy Chase credit card.
Extreme personal finance. Jonathan Clement, what do you think about that?
You know, you got to admire it.
But read the fine print. It's very scary if you'll get caught on the fees if you don't read the fine print, and you got to watch those things.
Thanks a lot for your call, Bob. You know, I did notice, and Jonathan, I also had one of those credit cards, actually several at different times, these credit cards that pay you back 5% on supermarkets and gas stations. I don't own a car, but with the price of gas these days, you know, 5% off gasoline, that's meaningful. And off your grocery shopping every week with a family of four, that's meaningful. But they take it away after a while. This offer seems, you know, that system seems to last for a period of time, and then they reduce it to 1%. And if you want to keep it up, you got to either do what Bob was saying and have a number of cards that you rotate, or keep switching credit cards when the next offer comes in.
And that's actually the key place to look for those new offers. I mean, you can go online and you can search for, you know, go to Google and put in words like best rewards, credit cards, and so on. You'll get a list of potential cards. But often the best offers you're going to get are going to come through the mail, because those will be offers that are directed to you because, you know, the credit card company has a pretty good sense of what sort of credit score you have and how good a credit you are. So the 0% introductory offers, you know, the high rewards cards, those are the ones that you're most likely to find by just looking in the mail every day.
Dave in New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Good morning to y'all. I was just wondering, how does switching from zero, you know, the 0% financing introductory things affect the credit report standings?
It all depends on, you know, what, you know, whether you do indeed pay off the card, and also, in terms of your credit score, the key number is the total amount of debt you have outstanding relative to your credit limit. So let's say that you have $20,000 of credit available to you. Generally, you won't start hurting your credit score as long as you don't have more than $6,000 of charges racked up. The number is 30%. So you don't want to be using 30% of your available credit on your credit cards.
Thank you for your call. And here's an email that says, isn't it bad to cancel your credit cards because that will affect your credit rating?
Again, it actually comes back to the same issue I was just talking about. Supposing you got $6,000 of balances on cards with a total credit limit of $20,000. You're in great shape. You're at the 30% limit. You're not above it. It's not hurting your credit score. But then you cancel one of the cards that has a $5,000 limit on it. Suddenly, you got $6,000 of charges on a credit limit of 15,000, you're over the 30% limit, and that could indeed hurt your credit score. But if that's not an issue, getting rid of the credit card is not a problem.
You wrote about one guy who keeps his checking account balance below $100 so he can make the most of his money in a high-yield savings account. And he just has to make sure that he transfers just the right of money to pay his bills at just the right time. That's some high-wire act.
Yeah, I mean, the danger there is that you get it wrong, you have a check come in, you don't have enough in the checking account to cover it, you bounce the check, you get hit with the bounced check fee, plus you end up hurting your credit score because you're suddenly, you know, missing a payment. So, that's a real high-wire act. Nonetheless, what the guy is doing there, the reason he's going through that whole phenomenon is so that he can keep money in this high-yield online savings account for as long as possible. I mean, right now, you have these high-yield online savings accounts that are yielding 5% or more. This is a phenomenon that's come in the last 5 or 6 years. Again, you just go to Google, put in high-yield online savings account, and you'll see a whole bunch of these companies listed. And really, you know, the rates are pretty attractive. It's probably a lot more attractive than you can get by just walking to your local bank and saying, I want to open a savings account.
Yeah, there are a few right in New York City. I know Apple Bank has it. WaMu, Washington Mutual has it. So there's a little bit of an interest rate war. I think the catch sometimes is with those that you have to put in something like $25,000 in order to get that interest rate.
Not necessarily. Some of them, you know, there's no minimum on it. So you just look around, you know, you got to read the terms on it. But often, you know, you can put in $25 and you can start getting that 5% right away.
Max in Manalapan, you're on WNYC with Wall Street Journal personal finance columnist Jonathan Clements as we talk about how to beat the credit card companies at their own game. Hi, Max.
Hi, it's Manaj Philip from Manalapan.
Oh, Philip, I'm sorry.
No problem. Two quick questions. One is, I find it kind of difficult to see how people are making money, especially when they're charging like $70 per transaction to transfer money. And the average person, if they have like a $15,000 or $20,000 credit limit, how much interest can you possibly get to offset the cost of, you know, $70 transaction fee? And I heard the transaction fees are going up from another friend of mine. And also, is this trend of 0% introductory rates going away, especially with, you know, banks worried about mortgages and rates, and
okay,
are rates going to go up?
Philip, thank you. By the way, you should change your name to Max, because Max in Manalapan has a much nicer ring than Philip in Manalapan. But go ahead and answer his questions, Jonathan.
Well, in terms of the transaction fee, I presume we're talking about the fee on cash advances. And again, it all comes down to reading the fine print. You get that offer through the mail, they're offering you the chance to take a cash advance at a 0% rate. But you've got to read the fine print and say, are they going to charge me a fee for this? And if they are going to charge a fee, will I make enough in interest to make up for it? You know, as I explained earlier, if the fee is too high, then instead of taking the cash advance, all you can do is just rack up a lot of charges, charge everything to the card that you would have otherwise, say, paid out of your checking account for 6 months. Meanwhile, keep the money on aside in a savings account and then take it at the end of the six-month period and pay off the balance. In terms of 0% introductory offers, I don't have any stats on that about whether there are more or less of those than there were, say, a year ago or 2 years ago. My sense is they're as readily available as they've always been, but maybe the banks are tightening up, but I don't get that sense.
Luthra in his taxi. You're on WNYC. Hi, Luthra.
Hi, Baron. Jeff's question is that I have too many credit cards. Every limit is $10,000. I don't need that much. If I do $1,500 or $1,800, bring them to down, I lose my credit or not?
Would he lose his credit or not if he brings down his credit limit or doesn't have as many cards?
Well, I don't see any real risk in having a high credit limit. I mean, something like $10,000. I mean, if you have, you know, hundreds of thousands of credit dollars of credit available to you, that may raise a few eyebrows, you know, if you go to get a mortgage. But if you've got only a $10,000 credit limit on a credit card and you're using $1,500 or $1,800 of it, that sounds pretty good. I mean, you're under the 30% limit that we discussed earlier, so you're in safe territory. I mean, if you go to, say, take a mortgage, you know, what the mortgage company will do will look at your history of running up balances on your credit cards and paying them off, and if you've been doing that on a regular basis, they'll say, yeah, this is good credit.
What about these store credit cards? It seems to me every time I go to a counter in a store these days, they're saying, well, you can get 20% off your purchase today if you sign up for our store's dedicated credit card. And so I think people are probably doing that and then cutting them up you know, not wanting to continue to use them, but just getting that one-time discount by signing up when they buy something.
Yeah, I must admit I did at one time. My now ex-wife, it was her birthday, I bought her some pearls, got the credit card that day, got 10% off, and didn't tell her about how I saved money.
And so, yeah, maybe if you told her, the marriage would have lasted. But that we won't get into that. So that's no downside in doing that, as far as you see.
You know, again, you know, you don't want to have a huge amount of credit available to you. But, you know, if we're talking, you know, 10, 20, 30,000, and you have a history of using it responsibly, I don't think there's a big issue there. You know, if you're the guy with 80 credit cards, you know, I think you do have to, you know, there's a higher hurdle there, and you really have to have a good record of paying off the, you know, the balances on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
But at $20,000 or $30,000, I wouldn't be worried.
And we have a few people calling or writing in to correct something. They think that there are transfer fees when you switch over from one credit card to another to take advantage of the 0% interest temporarily. For example, Dave in Bronxville writing in, there usually is a $50 fee for balance transfers. That would eat up some interest earned.
Again, it all depends on the card offer. You know, sometimes there'll be a fee, sometimes there won't be a fee. If there is a fee and it's too high, then, you know, what you do, as I said, is you just, you know, you don't transfer the balance if it's going to just, you know, ruin the arbitrage that you're looking at. Instead, you just, you know, rack up the charges on the new card and pay it off when the zero, just before the year 0% rate runs out.
We have 30 seconds left. Answer this great debate from our office the other day about whether or not it makes more sense to pay off a long-term home mortgage earlier than the agreement, if you have the money, as opposed to continuing to get the tax write-off for the interest.
It depends on what the alternative is. You should keep the mortgage if the alternative, you know, and fund your 401k. You should keep the mortgage and fund your IRA instead. But supposing you've taken full advantage of those opportunities and you're debating between, say, putting the money in a savings account or paying down the mortgage, often your best bet is to pay down the mortgage. The reason is, yeah, you'll lose the tax deduction on the mortgage interest because you paid it down. But if you get interest on a savings account, you're going to have to pay tax on that anyway.
Jonathan,
and often the rate on the mortgage is higher than the rate you're earning on the
Jonathan Clements,
account.
Wall Street Journal personal finance columnist. Thanks so much for all the info.
My pleasure, Brian.
Well, at 2 o'clock this afternoon, I'll be back on AM 820 as moderator of the latest debate in the NPR Intelligence Squared series. And in case you're interested, I'll be one of the panelists on New York One's Reporters Roundtable tonight at 7:30 and 10:30. Nuala McGovern produced this program with Jim Colgan, Lisa Allison, and Kate Hines. Help today from Nadia Zonis and Lucan Reckhouse. That's Tim MacArthur at the audio controls. Have a great weekend. I'm Brian Lehrer.